This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You start the year off fine.
February,
you're my little Valentine.
March,
I'm gonna march you down the aisle.
April,
you're the Easter bunny when you smile. Yeah, yeah, my heart's in a whirl. I love, my little calendar girl. Every day,
every day,
every day,
every day.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Neil Sedaka for you. Remember Calendar Girl? Hey, we're halfway through the month already. Good morning, welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my calendar buddy, Big Ed Davis, we thank you very much for joining us on this Friday, June the 15th. No, it's the 18th. Let me get my glasses on. These days move so quickly. I have my glasses on. I need a cognitive test, Ed. And we're going to talk about Biden needing one a little bit later. I have a story about that as well. In a few minutes, though, Peter St. Onge was going to join us. He is with the Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk about a global tax cartel and the tax they want to foist upon multinational corporations signed on to by the Biden administration. It's a 15% minimum tax. So we're going to talk about that with Peter St. Onge. Stay tuned for that. And a former White House doctor strongly urging Biden to get a cognitive test. He claims he's not fit to run the country. Okay? We're going to get some thoughts about that. Oh, I can imagine what the master barber is going to say about that one. Andrew Ceresi. So stay tuned for that a little bit later. And the Supreme Court upholds Obamacare while striking down the ban on a Catholic foster care's operation in Philadelphia. We're going to look at those two cases and talk about that a little bit later in the show. And speaking of the Supreme Court, in our ultimate top 10, we have got for you the top 10 most important Supreme Court rulings. All right? Stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. You guys, the best haircutter in Tampa Bay for my money. All work in Andrew's Master Barbershop. So get over there. Great haircut, great price. Tuesday through Saturday, they are open. Get your call in first, 727-733-3773, and they will dust off a barber chair for you. Also, don't forget Good Morning Clearwater. Every morning preceding our program, they're on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the great Tantalk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen, start off your day with those two. They're great. All right. Well, the more I think about this, the angrier I get. And the more I think that that cognitive test for Biden should be brought forth quickly. Media buzz. The host of Media Buzz, let me put it this way. Joe Biden has a list of 16 key infrastructure entities that are off limits to Russian cyber attacks. Why don't you tell him where all of our missiles are buried? In the meantime, as long as you're telling him what are the most important things not to go after us for. But what does Biden do? He tells Putin, here are 16 off-limit places you cannot foist a cyber attack on us. I can see Putin writing each one of them. Hey, Joe, where's that third one? Where's that one located? Oh, okay, thank you very much. What's going on with it, with this whole thing? Does that mean all the others that are not on the list you can go after and Biden's not going to care? Can you think? I mean, what's going on? Now, Russians are believed to be behind a pair of recent cyber attacks. You know about the Colonial Pipeline, right? And there was one at JBS Holdings. That's a meat processing outfit. And both of them paid multi-million dollar ransoms to get access to their systems back. Now, Colonial apparently got some of its money back. I don't know about JBS Holdings. Biden told reporters on Wednesday he gave Putin a list of 16 infrastructure entities that are off limits to a Russian cyber attack. Quote, I talked about the proposition that certain critical infrastructure should be off limits to attack, period. By cyber or any other means. I gave them a list. I'm quoting. I gave them a list. He said, if I'm not mistaken, and he said, I don't have it in front of me, 16 specific entities. 16 defined as critical infrastructure under U.S. policy, from the energy sector to our water systems.
I thought we had determined, or
why don't we just determine? Why don't we give them the code?
I know, but the hackers were Russians. They weren't the Russians.
Correct.
Okay, so what is Putin supposed to do? Take that list, go find the boys that are in a basement, and say, listen, Joe Biden just said you guys can't do this anymore.
Well,
it's bad as Obama shaking his finger. You know, that's, I'm going to lay down the law.
I don't know if these Russians are in any way connected or sanctioned to by Putin and the Russian government. That's the deal. Now, everybody seems to think that Putin and the government know who these people are that are doing all of this and allowing it to go on because they want these things to occur.
This is where we miss Trump, because when we had a problem in the beginning with the North Korea, Trump said, do that again and your country's a parking lot. That ended everything.
I think they respected Trump more, and I don't think Putin would, if Trump started to talk to him about these kinds of things. By the way, I don't think Trump would give him the 16, the sweet 16.
No.
We'll call it the sweet 16. But I think that Putin would actually listen because the thing about Trump, and I think it was a little bit of this with Reagan, if you remember.
True.
You didn't know whether or not he might be, let's say, volatile enough to do something to you. And that is the thing that I don't think they see in Biden. They see a glassy-eyed stare out of Biden. That's
or what he's being told to do and to say in his ear.
Yeah. I mean, this is scary stuff.
It's just not very convincing.
This is really scary stuff. I don't know what... and you were talking about, if I might bring it up, the fact that you think that Biden's got a couple of earpieces and I've seen them too. Now, I don't know whether that's a hearing aid or that's actually somebody talking in his ear.
Mm. Both ears?
It sounds like somebody talking in his ear.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, because usually with TV or something, you have the one IFB and that's it. You know, the one for the ear, because you need to hear what else is going
on. Right, it's usually hanging over
but
your ear.
But if you've
got
both, you're dialed in.
They're kind of like little pearls, aren't they, inside his ear?
Yeah.
I've seen them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm worried about the guy. A little bit later, we're going to talk about this demand, I guess you might say, by this former White House doctor that Biden undergo a cognitive test.
Yeah, good luck. They're barely allowed to ask him what flavor ice cream he likes.
Remember when Trump took one? Trump took a test.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
I don't think Biden would take it, but you never know.
And then didn't Pelosi want a psychological test done on him, too? After she was done with hers, of course.
Oh, well, that's it, yeah. By the way, when do they release her? Just on Sundays from that sanatorium when she talks?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, looking forward to talking with Peter St. Ange of the Heritage Foundation about a global tax cartel.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Yeah, hello everybody. We have a great new show coming up for you on Thursdays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. The show is called The Sounds Around Town. It will feature independent artists from our community. We will interview them and give them a chance to play their music on the radio. We will also feature some of the greats who already live in our community. So check us out every Thursday, The Sounds Around the Town, 5 to 6 p.m. on the Can Talk Radio Network, AM 1340, FM 106.1.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back. Freedom Works. So glad that you are with us. And we are delighted to have Peter St. Ange join us. He is a research fellow for economic policy at the Heritage Foundation. He has penned a piece on their website, the Biden administration signs America onto a global tax cartel. We're going to talk with Peter about this. This is the gist of it. Under the G7 agreement, multinational companies will be subject to a minimum 15% tax rate if this thing takes effect. Peter, first of all, I don't see how they're going to be able to get all of the countries to agree to it. Many of these countries, like Ireland, for example, I don't think they would want to agree to it. It's become a tax haven for a lot of multinational companies to headquarter there because of their lower tax rates.
Absolutely. Ireland is kind of leading the charge here. They are the, you know, one of the most prominent countries with lower tax rates. They also have a lot of friends in Europe. So they have a lot of goodwill that they're working with. So Ireland is leading the charge, but really, right, there are a lot of countries that have lower tax rates that this is targeting.
Yeah, but it's like herding cats, to my way of thinking. These countries all going along with it. I mean, which country? Is it just the seven major countries of the G7? What about some of these other countries that maybe say, you know what, I'm not so sure I'm going to do that. And then the whole thing falls apart.
For sure. There are a couple issues, right? So first off, you know, they're aiming to influence 135 countries. Those countries make up pretty much everybody on Earth. So you're talking, you know, a lot of Europeans, Latin America, India, China. So these things usually take years and years. Now, the G7 has a lot of influence, right? They can set the agenda. They can kind of push other countries around a little. But at the same time, countries like China typically try to push hard to get exemptions. Even if they do agree to it, it's an open question whether they're actually going to play along. So, it's going to be hard to get agreement, and then it's going to be hard to actually get countries to enforce it, especially the countries that aren't really that friendly to begin with.
Right. So what would happen if they were able to do this and they foisted this tax on multinationals?
Right. That's the concern, is that they're kind of going for the low-hanging fruit here. There's a lot of hostility to multinationals, especially tech companies. A lot of that hostility is justified. and so they're sort of going for the easiest mark. But the problem is, once they establish this kind of a framework where countries get together and agree basically on a cartel, they can extend that out to other kinds of taxes, right? So they can, you know, punish countries for having income taxes that are too low, for having payroll taxes, right? They can just keep going with this.
Of course. It never is going to end, like that. They always continue to come up with other things. But this is just, the old, one world order kind of thing? I mean, this is exactly what a lot of people would say. Here you go. Signing on to this, I mean, no matter what the tax was, just the idea that the United States would be a part of some sort of global agreement with all of these other countries And actually, there's only a handful of countries that come up with the idea. But there's something nefarious about that kind of a thing.
For sure. These organizations, they were created for basically two things, right? One of them is to present a unified front against the Soviet Union at the time, against China and Russia today. All right, so that was one reason for establishing these things in the first place. And the second reason that they constantly go on about is that, you know, they share good governance. So, you know, how do you make your city safer? How do you fix the potholes? You know, these sort of dinner table type, just good governance. And this is neither of those. This is the lunatics running the asylum here, where there are things that we, you know, the American people could benefit from these organizations, and instead they're running off trying to create global tax cartels. As you noted, they've been trying for decades to, you know, get their own taxes. You know, the UN wants its own tax, because if it has, you know, an independent tax base, then at that point it can start to accumulate power, right? And we had the same dynamic in this country where, you know, the federal government and the state governments, right, they for a long time had sort of a tug of war over whether the power was going to go to the federal level or the state level. The feds have largely won that war, and the UN is trying to duplicate that on a worldwide basis.
Right. We're talking with Peter St. Ange. He is a research fellow for economic policy at the Heritage Foundation. We're talking about this attempt by the G7, to create a minimum global tax for multinational corporations. Now, if Trump was in office, Peter, don't think this would get too far. I mean, he would be slamming this thing down almost right away, don't you think?
That's why they waited until 2021. Absolutely. Trump was dead set against this, and he was against it for two reasons. One of them is that, you know, that low-hanging fruit that they're going after is American companies, very specifically. So he saw this as discriminatory, as anti-American, which it is. And the second part is he is not sympathetic to these kinds of global government initiatives. So, yeah, Trump was absolutely set against it. They put it on ice, and then they waited for Biden to come.
What would it do if they got this thing going? What would it do for the employee count? I mean, is this going to mean more jobs, less jobs? I mean, is there any change there, in your opinion?
That is the concern. So, you know, in a sense, when you tax a corporation, right, corporations, they employ people, they're owned by people, they sell goods to people. Taxing a corporation is like taxing a crowd, okay? It's like a fiction. It passes through to people. So now you ask, what is it doing to those people? And the answer is, because taxes like this destroy so much economic activity, right? They make job creators not want to invest in growing a business. The taxes have to be passed on to consumers and workers. So you end up, the tax passes right through and actually gets magnified. So it hits workers, it hits consumers, and it hits the people who are actually creating the jobs. So corporate taxes, they are the easiest to sell because the marketing, right? You say, oh, look at these fat cats, they make $1 million. They can, you know, spare the money. Very easy to sell politically, but when you actually look at the consequences, they are neutron bombs. They are horrific for workers and consumers and the people who actually created the jobs.
Right. Also, and you bring this up in your article on your website, it has been known for decades, tax competition, one of the best ways to limit government harm to the economy. Competition in anything helps bring down prices. We know that. And actually, creates a more effective product. We know that as well. I mean, that's common sense. A lot of people don't believe it, but it's true. And you mentioned lower taxes raise incomes directly through lower tax bills and indirectly through stronger incentives to create jobs. I mean, all the good things come. And, you know, I think it was Reagan that used to say, if you lower taxes on companies, which means that they're going to have more money to create more products, which means that there are going to be products that are out there at competitive prices that people will purchase, which means that there will be more sales taxes that are paid, And when with more people that you employ, that means there are more people paying income tax, that in the long run, the government will get more money from lowering taxes on corporations than if they raise them, where they then will, the companies will then try to dodge the taxes, cut back on their employees, et cetera. Your thought?
Yeah, absolutely. The, you know, tax competition is fantastic for the people. It ends up creating much more prosperity for the people. The impact on the government is muted because, you know, if you lower the taxes, you get a lot more companies, you get more jobs. Those workers are now paying more in taxes because they're earning more. You get this just beautiful dynamic where, you know, prosperity is rising. The rising prosperity gives the government more money. Everybody walks away happy. And one of the most important, you know, as you mentioned earlier, one of the most important elements here is the competition between countries. I was talking to a government official in Alberta, and he said, thank God for America, because your low taxes are the only reason we can ever limit taxes in Canada.
And that's
Trump
true.
Said that, right? Yeah, when Trump was pushing through his corporate tax cut, he made a lot of reference to, you know, other countries that had lower corporate taxes than the U.S. Competition is critical to small government politicians who are trying to lower the take.
You know, the other thing I was just thinking about, the purpose of the G7, when they got together, basically, like you, I think, alluded to a little earlier, was for defensive purposes. I mean, by themselves, each of those countries was very vulnerable to a very powerful USSR. Then USSR broke up, but Russia maintains a huge, they may have more missiles than we do. And but their purpose is one for security. Now they're sort of losing, what is it, their reason for being. I mean, if they start sliding away from that or bringing in other things, it sort of, what is it, weakens the purpose that they're there, you know, their reason for being.
For sure. And we see this all the time with government programs, that it is sold for something that sounds wonderful, that we can all agree we need. And then once it's there, it decays, sometimes very quickly, and it becomes something else that is serving the bureaucrats. So always, new policies are sold as benefiting us. Once they get it, once they pass that law, now it's for them.
Right. So let's go to the, let's say that the G7 says, yes, we're going to, you know, we're going to go ahead with this. I mean, Biden would still have to bring the doggone thing back before the Congress, wouldn't he? And I don't think the Congress would go for it. I mean, the outcry. I mean, in other words, the practical reality of getting this thing actually passed.
That is the open question. So always with these international agreements, it's got to get through Congress. Now, at the moment, again, you know, because they've chosen the low-hanging fruit, there's a lot of anger towards specifically tech companies. That's why they're smart to start with tech companies. They're not going to end with that, but that's what they're starting with.
Mm-hmm.
So there's anger on the right. There's anger on the left. Personally, I think a whole lot of it is justified. But what that means is that this kind of a deal might have higher odds of passing than it normally would. And I think a lot of the tech companies, they have pressure coming from activists. They have pressure coming from different groups where they feel compelled to do things like censoring. And so there's, you know, those kinds of behaviors have raised a lot of anger. So
that's for sure.
In this environment, I think it is possible that it could pass Congress.
Really?
And then, of course, the problem is what happens next after that?
Wow.
What do they do with this power once they've gotten it with that sort of PR push?
Yeah. I find it almost unbelievable that we have gotten to the point where we're talking about something like this. It just seems we are getting further and further and further away from the reason our country was founded, the reason our country prospered and rose to the top. But Peter, it's a pleasure to have talked with you about this. Thank you so very much. Looking forward to talking with you again.
Thank you. Looking forward.
All right. Peter St. Ange of the Heritage Foundation. We are going to take our break. And when we come back, a former White House doctor strongly urging Biden to get a mental test, a cognitive test. He said he's not fit to run the country. We're going to get some thoughts about this and other things from the proprietor of the barber pole, the very fit, Andrew Ceraci.
It's a wonder I can think at all.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back on a Friday, it is already. By the way, Freedom Works, we are here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. But if you're not able to hear us live, you can hear us podcast, thanks to Big Ed, puts all of our shows on podcast. Just get over to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and look for the podcast button. So, Dr. Ronnie Jackson, he's the, I guess he was Trump's doctor, former White House physician. He called on President Biden to immediately undergo a cognitive test so he can prove to the American public sound mental capabilities. He says, we can't sit on this any longer, citing Biden's embarrassing performance overseas. He says he's not physically or cognitively fit to be our president right now. So he's a freshman Texas congressman, I guess, and 13 of his colleagues sent a letter to Biden expressing concern and mentioning some of his memory lapses, including apparently forgetting the names of his defense secretary, telling an Amtrak story with a timeline that did not add up, and seemingly blanking out on the often quoted first line of the Declaration of Independence. Now, a White House spokesman declined comment, but last month the White House said Biden would be going in for a checkup this year and would be transparent. So we got the very mentally fit Master Barber, Andrew. Andrew, do you think we ought to run? Remember when Trump had one of those tests? Remember, and everybody was screaming that he needed a psychological test?
Well, you know, Paul, believe it or not, I just left Walmart, and I left the Fisher Price of the Play School Department, and I got those tests for Biden. I picked them up.
Oh, you did?
You ever see the ones with the little squares, the little pieces of wood?
Yes.
The square ones and the round ones and the triangle ones. And you got to put them in the right hole and pound them with the little plastic hammer?
Yes.
Well, I got one of those.
Okay.
And I got the little piano.
Yes.
But it's got the little keys on it.
Yes.
And it tells you what buttons to push. And then I did get the thing with the little bee that spins around, and you pull the cord out, and it points to something, and you got to say what it is.
So yes.
I'm taking them up to Washington, and we're going to see what old Uncle Joe's got to do with
it. Yeah, why don't you go up to the front door there, knock on it, bring them in. I would love that. I think that's a beautiful thing.
Well, this guy is a total loser to the country. We're the laughing stock of the world.
When you got Angela Merkel bending over and you yelling at you and pointing their finger at you, you know you got problems. You gotta be kidding me.
They did a close-up of his cheat sheet when he was making his speech there at the G7, and they had a close-up. Somebody got in close enough to take a shot, and the first thing on the thing was to say something bad about Biden. I mean, about Trump, excuse me. Say something bad about Trump and about three or four other things. It was his little cheat sheet.
Oh,
my goodness.
Well, it's disgusting what's going on, you know? On the bright side of things, Trump is coming into Tampa on July the 3rd.
Oh!
Oh, yeah, he's coming somewhere in Tampa. We don't know yet, but
okay.
I can't wait to hear something positive coming out of him because the negative side of the battery just ain't cutting it.
Well, you know, he's been appearing on, in fact, he was on the Sean Hannity show again the other day. He's starting to show up again.
Go. Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, he's very much still there looking to do things, right?
Well, he's definitely doing things. Like I said, I got my own opinion of what really needs to be done to save this country.
Right. You like him to run.
It's not going to last 3.5 more years. And I'll say it, and I'll say it again. What needs to happen is Trump has got to run for Congress. We need to take over the House and Senate. Let Trump become Speaker of the House. Pull that gavel out of Nancy's hand. Get rid of Biden and Camelhead, and he becomes president for 2 years, starts straightening out what's going on here, and then in 2024, Ron DeSantis gets the bowling ball.
Wow, you got this thing all figured out.
That's what needs to happen.
Uh-huh.
Either that or, you know, all these phony votes and the truth's going to come out about this last election, and there's going to be a lot of hell to pay somewhere.
Yeah.
So one of the two's got to happen. Otherwise, we may as well hang it up. Let's get our little electric scooters out.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hope not. But, you know, it doesn't look like, I mean, honestly, that they're going to pull both Biden and Kamala and then Nancy away to allow that. I mean, maybe it would be nice, but it's not. It doesn't look.
Paul, what do you mean allow it? There's no allowing it. If this is an election, mm-hmm. They have done more to get impeached than Trump ever dreamed of.
I agree with you.
The border alone.
I agree.
Okay, so.
I agree.
So, I mean, it's a solution, and mm-hmm. There's no question that it could happen. And
well,
there's no saying if they allow it or not.
Okay.
If Trump gets voted in, he's voted in. The Republicans take the House and the Senate, they got it. And they can impeach those two just out of what they did at the border, Paul.
Okay. All right. So.
Allowing it. I mean, it could happen, mm-hmm. And it should.
I want to speak about the border. When is either one of those two dunderheads going to go down there and take a look at it? You know,
look at what our governor's doing. Our governor.
That's right.
The policeman over there to help out. You know what?
Yes, he is.
They're going to take care of this problem on their own. They're making Washington look like a bunch of jamokes. And look at the new holiday we got. Another federal holiday.
Oh, Juneteenth.
Another federal holiday for that for the federal employees. You get a day off without pay.
Well, my
question. Me.
Will you be closing your shop on Juneteenth?
No, you kidding me? I'll be doing haircuts at that price just to get the people in. Give me a breath. Disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
Get rid of all the other holidays. All of a sudden, we got every black holiday in the world coming in.
Do you know that that Congress now gets 44 days off a year? Congress.
Isn't that wonderful?
40,
isn't it?
This is from Forbes magazine. With this Juneteenth deal going on, giving millions of federal employees Friday off to celebrate Saturday's new so they're also going to, since it's falling on a Saturday, they're going to give them off Friday. That's great.
You know what they should have done, Paul? Instead of the day they got freed, they should have honored the 650,000 white soldiers that died freeing them. How about a holiday for that? They forget about that?
I know. That happened in Texas, didn't it?
650,000, Paul.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. Right. Well, anyway, you're right. It's celebrated on June 19th to commemorate the end of slavery in the United States. The Civil War was America's bloodiest war. And let's see, with between 752,000 and 861,000 soldiers dying on the battlefield. 49 states have already recognized Juneteenth as a holiday. Only South Dakota has not recognized it, though only a handful give it as a paid holiday to state employees. So there you go. I think we're going to have to, aren't we going to have to push out some of the other holidays to squeeze in Juneteenth? I mean, all these.
We might as well just get rid of the 4th of July.
Oh, yeah, we could get rid of that.
We got rid of Columbus Day. We got nothing to celebrate no more.
Yeah, that's right.
It's Gotti's birthday we should start celebrating. Who knows?
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
It's disgusting, Paul.
Well, I think a lot of people feel the way you do, and they will not be celebrating particular day. You mentioned, and I want to get back to it, Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, is actually going to help out in Texas. Texas has decided, all right, the Biden administration is not going to come down here and do the job they're supposed to do, which is protecting the border. We're going to do it. So now Texas is going to start building a wall. They're actually going to get some of it through voluntary contributions, I suspect, from companies and wealthy individuals in Texas.
It's the people alone, Paul. The people alone will send in the money.
Yeah, exactly. So
I'm tired of it.
The only trick is that you got to be careful, because if it's on federal land, then the federal government will sue you, which becomes rather bizarre. Here's Texas trying to enforce what the federal government's marching orders are. And then the federal government saying, no, you can't do that. That's our bailiwick. And then you say to them, yeah, but you're not doing your bailiwick, so we've got to do it because all these people are pouring into our state illegally.
Oh, wasn't it the states that actually made the federal government happen?
Yes, in fact, well, yes, it was a confederation of states that got together and signed and agreed to the Constitution. Exactly. It was made by people of the various states.
The states put a vote in and say, hey, the federal government's wrong. They shouldn't have to answer to the federal government at all.
The whole concept of our government was to be states with the stronger power than the federal government. It is now, of course, reversed. But that was the intent. We were supposed to have a weak federal government only to protect our, to protect our defense, to protect our borders, to coin our money, and to establish a federal court system, which only came into play if the states' courts ran into trouble, one state over another. That was the original intent of the federal government. But we have gone long past that.
Way past that, Paul. Way past.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm seeing brighter days. I hope I am anyway, because I think the explosion will be on the 4th of July when that gas hits $4 a gallon.
Yeah. Well, and
I think they'll keep it at $3.99 just so it sounds better for people.
Good Lord. Yeah, that's what's going to do in the Democrats. Inflation. Higher costs for anything. By the way, I want to be there when you make that delivery of those blocks and the circles and the little hammer and the whole bit. What?
And remember what we're honoring this weekend.
Go ahead.
It's the most confusing holiday in our country.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes.
It's Father's Day, and we know not many people know who their father is today.
Oh, boy.
As a matter of fact, Walmart's now selling Father's Day cards in packages of five.
You're in rare form today.
Buddy.
All right, sir. Well, okay. Listen, it's always a pleasure, Andrew, to talk with you. I'm looking forward to talking with you, hopefully, on Monday. Thank you so much.
All right, Paul. You have a good weekend.
Same to you, buddy. Oh, boy, he was in rare form today, Ed. Was he not? I knew that if I got on that topic about cognitive ability and Biden, we'd have some fun. Okay, let us take our final break. Among other things, when we come back, we're going to talk about the Supreme Court and a couple of very important decisions.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. And we want to talk about two very important Supreme Court decisions that have occurred. Texas and other Republican-led states are very upset. They ripped the Supreme Court's decision to uphold Obamacare. It was a 7-2 ruling to reject a challenge from a coalition of 18 states and two individuals. Now, this is the third time a Republican-led effort to overturn Obamacare has failed. Now, in their decision, what the justices determined was that the states lacked standing to bring this case. So they did not look at the merits of the suit. They looked at the people bringing the suit and said, you're not allowed. So we're not going to take a look at the merits. Well, what the 18 states and the two individuals said was, look, once you remove the tax, the penalty, in other words, that Obamacare is not a tax, then you don't have to buy it. And therefore, we should allow it to collapse. And the Supreme Court says, well, we're not going to look at that. We're not going to look at that. You guys lack the authority to bring this. All right. So it is driving a lot of people crazy. I'm surprised. I'm trying to look at who the two were that said they would not reject the challenge, and I don't see it on this list. Obviously, Biden was excited. He said the Affordable Care Act remains the law of the land. The Supreme Court decision, a major victory for all Americans benefiting from this groundbreaking and life-changing law. All right. Well, I'm not so sure about that. Now, the other one, the Supreme Court unanimously sided with a Catholic foster agency in a dispute against Philadelphia over whether or not the agency should be banned from participating in the foster program in the city because it excluded same-sex couples from adopting from their foster care agency. This was the Catholic Social Services in Philadelphia. They claimed that Philadelphia's attempt to exclude the Catholic Church from foster care violated the First Amendment, and the Supreme Court agreed. He said there is a freedom of religion in this situation. You are violating it. The ruling was 9-0. Let's see. Here's what John Roberts said. Catholic Social Services seeks only an accommodation that will allow it to continue serving Philadelphia children in a manner consistent with its religious beliefs. It does not seek to impose those beliefs on anybody else. He said the refusal of Philadelphia to contract with Catholic Social Services for foster care cannot survive strict scrutiny and violates the First Amendment. So that was kind of good news for religious purposes. All nine of them agreed, even the liberals. So a very interesting situation. All right. Before we get to our top 10, and we have a good one, by the way. It is indeed involving the Supreme Court, the 10 most important Supreme Court cases. We had a hockey game last night.
Yeah, you always say that.
What?
Boy, we've got a good one.
Well, if I said at the beginning of the show, you know, we have a really dull one. If I were you, I would cut off right about 45 minutes after the hour so you don't have to hear it.
You should throw everybody off.
What do you think I am?
Throw everybody off, you know, just say, you know, we got a real crappy one. We're going to skip it today.
Well, you know, I got to think these things up. One of these days, I'm going to draw a blank.
You got to change it up.
All right. Okay. Man, listen to him. Guy, you know why? Because he doesn't like to roll the drum. That's why. So we have a hockey game last night. Our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning went up to the New York Islanders in Uniondale, New York. And by the way, I love the fact that when the national anthem was played, the lady that was singing it stopped singing it and allowed the crowd. I got a rush from that one.
When the announcer said, with audience participation or however you did it, I said, oh, this ought to be good. I'd like to see one of the left-wingers get down on a knee or put their hat on the middle of one of them New Yorkers and set them straight there.
Yeah.
You're not going to find anybody kneeling in that house.
No. Exactly. I think there was a lot of, let's put it this way, a lot of Republicans in the crowd, but I don't know for sure.
You know, I grew up not far from that.
Where'd you grow up?
East Meadow, which is right down the road.
Okay.
Nassau County Medical Center.
Okay.
Big building right across the street.
Yeah. So you know the area.
Yeah. I never got that far, though, you know.
Yeah.
Get a kid on your bicycle.
Wow.
I remember Salisbury Park.
Really?
Big park right there. That's about as far as I was allowed to go.
Really? You were allowed? You were at Wildcat?
Well, you know, blocks on your bike.
When you're that old,
you're 11 years old.
Yeah,
you don't get free,
right.
Not like today. I mean, you can hop in a car at 11 years old, drive wherever you want.
You're right.
Yeah.
So, we won.
Yes.
The Lightning won the game by a score of 2-1. Great goaltending again. I guess we're just spoiled with Vasilevskiy.
Well, the game totally changed from the first two. They realized that the fights were drawing penalties, and penalties can kill you. Penalties can change the game.
And it was a one of those two goals was a power play goal for Lightning.
So both teams decided, let's just play the game. And when it comes down to just playing the game, I think the Lightning are going to have the edge.
I think so.
Yeah. It may go 4-2.
You think it might be 4-2?
Yeah, I think it'll be 4-2. Okay. I don't know if it'll go... I don't know if it'll go the distance and go 7, but I think it'll go 4-2.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to tomorrow night's game, and as you had mentioned earlier, it's an 8 p.m. start. That is a surprise. I would have figured a Saturday afternoon game. So
I think they were trying to get baseball out of the way during the day on Saturday, you know, and not compete.
Speaking of baseball, you and I
stubbed their toe last night.
Watched our – well, but I want to go back to the series with my beloved White Sox. And in game one, the Rays pulled it out. Next two games, the White Sox won. So very interesting. They're very close. Did you know, though, that 5 of the regulars for the Chicago White Sox are on the injury list?
Yeah, I told you that. They're missing some key players.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, 5.
Yeah.
That's half of them.
Yep.
I mean, what are they going to be like when they get them all back and healthy? What happened to the Rays last night?
Pitching. They were up 5-2 in the ninth inning, and pitching fell apart.
Okay.
Fairbanks.
Who did they play?
Seattle. The Mariners.
You recall the score?
The final was 6-5.
6-5, wow.
Yeah, okay. They went into the ninth inning 5-2 and
they're
lost.
They're a better team than Seattle.
Yeah. And they just... Sometimes they tend to play down to the competition.
I see.
Yeah, they always play up for the Yankees. They play up for the White Sox because, you know, the best team in baseball. Fight for the best record in baseball,
right.
And then, you know, Seattle is under 500, and they tend to...
It's just amazing that a team like the Rays, with maybe the lowest payroll, if not the second, and they're always in it. They go to the World Series last year. It's great.
And I really think they need to make a couple of moves before the trade deadline. Kiermaier has got to go. Kevin Kiermaier has got to go.
He's
just not that great in the outfield anymore.
What position?
And he just can't hit the ball. He just every year he thanks Kevin Cash, the manager, for giving him giving him time and letting him work his things out. But every year he's down. I said they needed to trade Willy Adames, and they did because he was kind of lollipopping around quite a few times, just not putting every effort into it. But I think Kiermaier is just it's time. It's time.
How old is he?
He's only 31, but he is
old.
he's
He's an old 31.
He's a top of the payroll, if you want to call that, like $6 million a year.
Well, they probably looking at him then, because they do make those kinds of changes to save money.
Yeah.
All right. It is time for our top 10, Ed. We have a good one. Get over there on the drums. Top 10 most important Supreme Court cases, according to the American Bar Association. Here we go. Number 10. Roe versus Wade, 1973. Does the Constitution prohibit laws that restrict or deny abortion? The result, yes. Court concluded such laws violate the Constitution's right to privacy. Number 9. Tinker versus Des Moines, 1969. The issue, does the First Amendment prohibit public school officials from barring students from wearing black armbands to symbolize anti-war protest? According to the court, yes. The court held that students do not shed their constitutional right to freedom of speech when in school. Number 8. Miranda versus Arizona, 1966. Issue, are police constitutionally required to tell people in custody of their right to get a lawyer and remain silent? Result, yes. You got to tell them they can get a lawyer and they have a right to remain silent. Number 7. Gideon versus Wainwright, 1963. The issue, does the Constitution require that any individual charged with a felony but unable to pay for a lawyer be guaranteed a lawyer? The answer, yes. The state will provide a lawyer. Number 6. Brown versus Board of Education, 1954. The issue, do racially segregated public schools violate the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution? The answer, yes. A unanimous court overturned Plessy versus Ferguson. Number 5. Schenck versus United States, 1919, the year you were born. At issue, is certain speech, including sending anti-war pamphlets to drafted men, deemed in violation of the Espionage Act? Result, no. Although the defendant would have been able to state his views during ordinary times, the court held that in certain circumstances, the nation being at war justifies such limits on the First Amendment. Number 4. Dred Scott versus Sanford, 1857. In this pre-Civil War case, the question was whether Congress had the power to prohibit slavery in free territories. Result, the court answered no. Congress could not prohibit slavery in territories. It also, there was a question of whether African Americans had the right to sue. And according to Dred Scott, they did not. Because, you know why? Because at that time they were considered property. Number 3. Givens versus Ogden, 1824. Issue, can states pass laws that challenge the power of Congress to regulate interstate commerce? The answer, no. The federal government has the right with interstate commerce. Number 2. McCulloch versus Maryland, 1819. Issue, can Congress establish a national bank? And if so, can a state tax the bank? The court held Congress has the power to establish a national bank, and it also determined that a state could not tax the national bank. All right, here we go. Number 1. Marbury versus Madison, 1863. The issue, who can ultimately decide what the law is? Result, explicitly the province and duty of the judicial department to say what the law is. The decision gave the court the ability to strike down laws on the grounds that they are unconstitutional, a power called judicial review. So there you go. Thank you so much for being with us. We will be back on Monday. Remember, freedom works.
Sometimes wonder why all the flowers had to die. I dream about you and I. Summer's come and gone.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored